message that God dropped into my heart in a very definite way. It pays to pray. Now that gets Americans' attention because we want to be paid for everything we do. But it pays to pray. The Word of God said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That is so simply laid out, and yet one of the profound expressions and truths of the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the basis of the faith that we approach him on is that not only God is, but God is a rewarder. God has a reputation of being a rewarder. God has many multiple reputations, but one of his reputations is that God blesses those who pray. Now, another insight that really sparked my attention was in Luke, the first chapter, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias in the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both old, they were both righteous before God, they were old, but they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child, they were old. Because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Now there's some things that God wants us to consider about prayer. Ephesians 6:18 said, "Praying always." Prayer is an attitude. Praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Why pray? Why pray? Why should we pray? Well, there are many scriptural reasons to pray and why we should pray. And whatever is prayer to you, this is where sometimes believers get a little tripped up. Well, I believe in loud prayers. That's the only way I can pray. And a God, heareth us, Lord, you know, that's the only way they can pray. And then some believe in short prayers. Obviously, more believe in short prayers than long prayers. But some people see that prayer is a different way. So loud prayers, long prayers, short prayers, praying the word, wonderful way to pray. Praying in your prayer language, wonderful way to pray. Journal your prayer, read your prayer, or just speak from your heart extemporaneously. Whatever prayer is to you, just do it. Do it. We all may do it a little differently, but whatever is prayer to you, whatever works with you, whatever way that you approach God that you know in your heart that's for you to do, then do it. And the Bible, of course, gives us many examples of many different types of prayer, seasons of prayer, and so on. But why should we pray? Well, the Bible talks about asking and seeking and knocking. We know that scripture so very well. But some interesting things that come to us from the Word, because God commands prayer. He said in Luke 18:1, "Men ought always to pray." There should be a constant attitude of gratitude and prayer in our hearts toward God. Secondly, because it's God's nature to hear and answer prayer. This is God's nature. You're not intruding on a part of the personality or the being of God that you're just walking on uncharted seas. The Bible is full of illustrations of pray, call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. Things you don't know, which qualifies all of us to pray. It's God's nature to hear and answer prayer. Thirdly, because prayer is making yourself available to God. That's one of the big things about prayer. We just slow down, quieten down, and just get quiet before God and make ourselves available to God. God doesn't speak to us when he has to send a legion of angels to wrestle us and throw us down on the freeway. Now, if we're praising the Lord, he can speak to us anywhere. But prayer is making yourself available to God. Also, because prayer is God's way for believers to receive. You have not because you ask not, James instructs us. And because prayer is one of God's ways for the believer to have fullness of joy. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of doom and gloom in the world today. A lot of happy people, but there's a lot of doom and gloom. The Bible tells us that as we ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. There's something about prayer, an answered prayer, that just releases those Holy Ghost endorphins within you. The joy of the Lord. Oh, it's so important. Prayer is one of God's ways for the believer to have fullness of joy. The joy may be full. And also because prayer, we all identify with this one, prayer is the way out of all trouble. Psalms 34 said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my trouble, delivered me from all my fear. We all find ourselves in some quicksand every once in a while. We all find ourselves a little bit in the ditch off the road from time to time. Prayer is God's way to get us out of all trouble. Because prayer is asking and the answer to prayer is receiving. Prayer is asking and the answer to prayer is receiving. Now these are good reasons to pray. Why should we pray? The Ephesian letter tells us praying always with all kinds of prayer. Jesus said men ought always to pray. He knew the women would. He just knew he had to encourage the men to do that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Thank God for the power of prayer. You see, what I just read a few moments ago in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 14, it's proof that it pays to pray. It really does pay. It pays dividends. Sometimes it pays very quickly, and sometimes it takes a little while, but it shall come to pass. Now here is Zacharias and Elizabeth. It's another Abraham and Sarah story. Up in years, old, past the time of childbearing. And many times I read this a little too quickly. You know, the angel came, and I'll touch on it again in just a moment, and he said, thy prayer is heard. He and God had had a secret prayer request going for some time. And so there he is, according to the custom of the priest's office. His lot was to burn incense. And he went into the temple of the Lord and he was burning incense. In other words, he was doing what a minister was called to do. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 10, the whole multitude of the people were praying without. The whole multitude. Now here are two powerful things. A minister of God obeying God, doing what God called him to do. I call it presence. You know, we get hung up on how big it is or how famous it is, whatever. To me, I think when we stand before God, we're going to see rewards handed out because people were faithful in being present where God called them to be. There's many a person doing a very unglamorous phase of the ministry, but they're where God has called them to be, and the blessing of God will be there. And I realize this, you know, people, they call churches by the names of ministers. Well, that's Bob Nichols' church, or that's this brother's church. Hey, listen, it's Jesus' church. But there would be no church if it were not for the people. So here was Zacharias doing what God called him to do, and here are the people doing what they should do. The whole multitude was praying. Two combinations, a man of God in the will of God and a people of God in the will of God, and they're both praying. One just happens to be a little closer into the ministerial side of the office. But they're outside and they're praying without at the time of incense. And because one minister and a multitude of his flock prayed, the following things happen. And now we're going to get real simple with it. Because it comes down to this. I could say, well, if all the other ministers would do this or that and the other, that's none of my business. If other pastors or if this or if that, you see, we always want to get everybody else regulated and lined up. Or if other churches or whatever. What it comes down to is me doing what God's called me to do, doing it faithfully, doing it from my heart, and you doing what God's called you to do, and doing it again with faithfulness and joyfulness of heart. Living proof that it pays to pray. One minister, one multitude of people, one minister, his flock outside, they're both in one mind and in one accord. And I'm telling you, it produces supernatural evidence. The first thing that happened, the Bible said there appeared unto him, Luke chapter 1 verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. Now we're talking about the fact that it pays to pray. Now, I wonder how many have had an angelic appearance. I'm not being foolish. If you did, I'll rejoice with you. Has anyone had an angelic appearance this week? Okay. How many others? Has anyone had an angelic appearance this month? Or this last year? Now, I'm going there for a purpose. It's wonderful. Angels are wonderful. I've felt their presence. I've been spared more than once by angels and was very conscious of it. But I've never seen an angel. Now, I've had some charity things come through the mail here the last couple of weeks, and it's all about angels and things, but it's not about Jesus. And of course, we don't worship angels over Jesus. But you know, as I was looking at that, the Lord said, just pause here for a moment. I want to show you something. I said, what is it, Lord? He said, most people will never see an angel. But you have something in your hands that is more important than an angelic appearance. You can see an angel and not have this word in your heart, and it will be insignificant. It will slip through your hands. It'll slip through your heart. But this word is a more sure word of prophecy. More so than an angel appearing to you today, which would be wonderful. Praise God for angels. They're all over this room today. If we could just let God open our eyes and see them. But let me tell you, you have a more sure word of prophecy in your hand. If you're holding a Bible, you have a more sure word of prophecy if you have something in your hand and something in your heart and you believe what you have than if you had an angelic appearance. Most of us, if we had an angelic appearance, it would take a while for us to pick ourselves up off the ground. Because when people saw angels, that was it. They would fall. And the angel would have to say, don't be afraid. It's okay. Because when an angel would appear, many times it was in the way of judgment. Back in the Old Testament. And so the angel would have to revive them. But while the minister and the multitude was in prayer, there appeared unto them the angel of the Lord. Thank God for angels. But I'm telling you, your Bible is stronger than Michael or Gabriel together. I said your Bible, the scriptures, the holy word of God is more powerful to you than Michael or Gabriel or all the angels of God appearing. And that doesn't take away from any of it. That's just the way it is. So they're praying. An angel appears. Number two, while they were in prayer, the angel that appeared said something you hear Pastor Bob Nichols say quite often. Fear not. Our world's filled with fear. CNN's bad enough. Then you get into BBC and everything's horror, horror. You know, it's just this constant fear thing. Folks, do you realize what a diet of fear we're being fed? We're afraid of our health. We're afraid of products. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of a war. We're afraid if we don't fight. We're afraid if we do fight. And you'll find yourself living in fear 24 hours a day. And I can look back in mistakes that I have made, things that I wished I had done at that time, I didn't do because of fear. Fear somehow got in the way. And I backed away or backed off. I'm trying to learn lessons in that area. Fear not is the message of Christ and Christianity today. Thank God for Jesus. He didn't send us to kill one another as terrorists. He sent us to love one another, to witness to one another, to hand out food to one another, to bless one another, to help families, to minister to people, to teach people the gospel of Christ. Fear not is the message of Christ in Christianity today. You know, after 9/11, I preached 2 or 3 messages on no fear here. And, of course, a lot of other ministers, that's a natural that flows if you have any faith in your heart. Then some bumper stickers and some all kind of things, you know, no fear here. Really? Adopt this in your life. When something comes and strikes fear to my heart, I say, no, I do not receive that thought. No, I do not receive that emotion. So the worst happens, so be it. I'm okay. I'm in Christ. Everything's okay. God's going to see me through. No fear here. No matter what people may say, the doctor may say, circumstances may say, NBC, ABC, what, BBC, CNN, no matter what they say, you don't live by fear, you live by faith. So while he was praying, angels appear. The message of fear not appears. The third thing that happened was the confirmation that your prayer is heard. Now that's one that will get your attention. Is anyone praying about something that as yet is not manifested? I'll lift both hands. Something you're praying about that as yet has not manifested? The angel came and he said, your prayer is heard. Now what if a big 9-foot angel walked up to you and looked you right in the eye and said, your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. You know that prayer you've been praying about? You know that prayer that's closest to your heart? You know that prayer that you have reminded me of over and over again? Good news. Your prayer is heard. Well, the truth of it is your prayer was heard when you prayed it. But it means that something's on the way. The confirmation that your prayer is heard. Luke chapter 1 verse 13. Your prayer is heard. You know, I even left out fasting a while ago. Yes, there's a time for fasting. The Bible tells us powerful things happen through fasting and prayer. Prayer and fasting. You know, they said, why couldn't we cast this thing out of the boy? And Jesus said, some things only come by prayer and fasting. Let me just give you a little insight. You know, we think, if I could only fast 40 days, try it 4 hours. Oh, I heard about Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Prophet so-and-so. He went on a 40-day fast. Well, you weren't there. You don't know. I hope he did. But you can't go 4 hours without food. Now, let's come back to a point of truth. Something that was very important to me. Something that I really needed to see some breakthrough in others' lives. And I didn't have time to do much, but I said, Lord, one meal. That's all. That's the only shot I had at it at that moment. You know, one meal. And then, you know, isn't that something? You make a move like that, and then a little voice says, not enough, not enough, not enough. That's not big enough, you know, God's. Let me tell you, God honored that simple act of one meal. I saw a tremendous answer to prayer before the day was over. God honors that. And you know, you say, well, I can't fast 40 days. I can't fast 4 days. Or try one meal. Try 2 meals. You live and not die. Your body will say thank you. The confirmation that your prayer is heard. Oh, how refreshing it is when you get that divine something inside of you. Your prayers are heard. Not only are your prayers heard, but your prayers are on the way. Because the next declaration is exactly this. The declaration that your miracle is on the way. Not only is your prayer heard, but your miracle is on the way. Isn't it strange? All of a sudden we realize this man's been up to something with God for some time. Your prayer is heard. And what was the answer to the prayer? I'm going to have a son. This was not a spur of the moment deal. This was not just God in heaven and said, let's do this with Zacharias and Elizabeth. He said, your prayer is heard. If there's anything Satan tries to do, he'll try to wear you out in the field of prayer by telling you that God has not heard your prayers, by telling you that your prayers will never come to pass. Ever since I brought that message recently on Sunday evening, never give up on the young people in your life. Never give up on the young people, no matter how they may be doing or what's going on in their life. Never give up on the young people in your life. Because many of you here today were those young people that someone else was praying for years ago. And God heard their prayer. And I was one of those. I'm here today. I've been preaching for a number of years. Someone did not give up on young Bob Nichols. Someone did not give up on me. Your prayer is heard. Church, I want you to get this in your spirit today. Stop getting this, nobody loves me. Heaven doesn't know my name. I attend church, but I don't know what it's all. Oh, just rejoice today. My prayer is heard. My prayer is heard. My miracle is on the way. The miracle for myself, the miracle for my family. My prayer is heard. Don't whine, rejoice. Don't complain, praise and worship God. My prayer is heard. My miracle is on the way. Your miracle is on the way. Your prayer is heard. Your miracle is on the way. That's the problem that pastors get caught in so many times. We think we have to hit it and move quick and go on when they didn't get the first thing you said. If all I did for the rest of this message was to say that your prayer is heard and your miracle's on the way, it's worth coming to church this morning. That's what the Spirit of God's telling me to tell you. Your prayer is heard. But I don't see it, but I don't feel it. Seems like things are going the other way. I don't understand, Pastor, but your prayers are heard. If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches us that God hears and answers prayer, that God is a hearing God and God is an answering God. No matter what people seem to be doing. Don't give up. And I'm led back to this. Do not give up on the young people in your life. Do not give up on them. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up praying for your grandchildren. Keep on standing on God's word for your family. It has, it will, and it will continue to pay great dividends. The declaration that your miracle is on the way. My, that'll send you home in a different orbit already. You come in, your little shoulders are down. I don't know if God's heard me. I've prayed. And now the Spirit of God says, hey, good news. Have good news for you. Got an email, got a fax for you. Good news. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. Hallelujah. Your miracle is on the way. Also, we notice that it was promised in Luke chapter 1, verse 14, thou shalt have joy and gladness. Oh, we so need that in the body of Christ today. Well, I had some joy back in 93. Look in your mirror, honey, it leaked. You see, the appearance of God, the receiving of fear not, the confirmation that our prayer is heard, the declaration that your miracle is on the way, brings the joy and gladness of the Lord in your heart. I believe it was in 1938 that it rained in the desert, a certain desert area of Arizona that had not had rain for, I don't know, 100 years, something of that nature, maybe 200 years, I don't know. But it rained in that area. Almost before anyone knew what was happening, people were coming from all over the world to see the beautiful exotic flowers that were growing. You're ahead of me. The seed was there all the time. All it took was the rain. The seeds were there for years, for maybe hundreds of years. Who knows? The rain had not fallen, but a little rain goes a long way. Oh, when the rain of God falls, when the river of God begins to flow in your life, it's amazing how out of raw desert land, the beautiful, the exotic will begin to grow. Talents and gifts and giftings that God has placed within you will begin to manifest. Little rain goes a long way. The joy of the Lord is God's answer to the doom and gloom and the sadness of our world. Now let's come back just to a moment. I hate to inform you that every day we serve God, we're not clicking heels and over the moon, you know? You look at Zacharias. How many times has that dear man gone to the temple? How many times has he done what he's supposed to do as a minister, obeying God in obedience? How many times? But today something's different. You've got a big multitude outside praying. He's been there before, but there's something going on here today. There's a whole multitude outside that are praying. And you put a leader together with a people that have that spirit of prayer ignited within them, and I'm telling you, hell cannot hold it back. And you're in a crowd this morning. There is faith in this room. I sense it. Every fiber of my being senses faith in this room today. You see, out of nothing came something. Out of barrenness came the promise that a son will be born. There was a birth. Good things really do happen to those who wait. Good things really do happen to those who wait. Out of years of barrenness and years of seeming unanswered prayer, years of standing on God's word, years of praying yet seemingly not seeing what you're asking for. But Zacharias prayed again. Something very sensitive here. He prayed again. You know where most people miss it? They quit before victory. They stop before victory. Remember a book on success that I read many years ago, a man that had worked a gold vein and he had just taken it as far as he could take it. He was exasperated and it just seemed like nothing would ever come out of it. I don't even remember what a pitiful amount of money he sold out all of his rights. Another man went 36 inches further and struck one of the richest gold veins that's ever been struck. Been praying for years, so I'm not going to pray anymore. Been going to church for years. I'm not going to do that anymore. I've been giving for years. You see, good things happen to those who wait in faith believing. What if Zacharias had not gone to work that day? What if the multitude had not been fired up in prayer in a very special way? I can hear them and that multitude said, boy, there's a spirit of prayer. I don't know what's happening, but the whole multitude is praying. People have caught the spirit of prayer. And because he went to church one more time, and because they prayed maybe a little stronger than they'd ever prayed before, he didn't quit. The people didn't quit. And I encourage you today, keep on praising and praying and keep on reading God's word and giving and glorifying God and coming to the house of God. Keep on believing. Don't stop. Don't compromise. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't quit. Well, there's much more in this chapter than I gave you, but thank God good things happen when people hold steady in the things of God. It pays to pray. I said it pays to pray. Angels appeared. Fear not is emphasized. The confirmation that your prayer is heard and the declaration that your miracle is on the way and gladness and joy were promised and God wrought a miracle. Maybe one more prayer. Maybe one more act of faithfulness. Maybe one more time of going. Maybe. And if it takes 100 more, do 100 more. If it takes 1,000 more, do 1,000 more. But the Bible is filled with instances like this. One more time made the difference. One more praise made the difference. One more prayer made the difference. One more standing in faith made the difference. It pays to pray.